former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Stormy Bonantoni, on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Get ready, ladies and gentlemen, for Draft Central, basically, over the course of the next 2 hours. Welcome into our day before the draft edition of the Lombardi Line. This show, as always, presented by DraftKings. I'm Stormy Bonantoni, alongside in the flesh, Michael Lombardi.
Yes. Good to be here with you, Stormy. I always love being here with you. Yeah, it is. Draft day coming upon us. I feel like Frank Pantangeli in that courtroom where they're just lies, lies, lies. Everybody's lying, right?
Yes.
But we're going to have some truth coming out pretty soon. That's going to be the best part, right?
We're going to sift through all of the information that's coming out for better or worse. And I know you and Femi tomorrow. So in addition to what we're doing here on the Lombardi Line each day, you and Femi are going to be breaking down the picks as they come through in action tomorrow as well.
That'd be fun. Yeah, it'll be, you know, kind of as it goes along, we'll start the draft, hopefully. And, you know, we keep saying this, but I think the league has really put a lot of pressure on these teams to not let the draft picks out. In fact, they put so much pressure on teams. You used to be able to, on your computer, during the draft, you would get the picks as they were coming in, as they were turned into the league. But the league now only allows so many accounts to have that service. So, like, not all the scouts will know who the picks are. They're waiting on. So they've really cut down the level of information that's being shared until it's announced by the commissioner because, look, they want the ratings to go and people love it. I mean, they're going to be, it's 45 degrees outside in Detroit and people are going to be standing there watching it. I love it.
You said it's a TV show, right? Let's create a little bit of suspense if
we
can.
Exactly. That's what they want to do and I'm happy. I mean, like I was saying to Femi today when we started the GM Shuffle, you know, I in 1981, I went down to the draft. I was a student at Hofstra University well before you were born, and I would go to the draft, and I stood in line, and I met Joel Buschbaum, and it was the draft where the Patriots had the first pick in the draft, and they picked Kenneth Sims, and I just sat there for, and it was 17 rounds, I believe, and you just sat there and watched. No, it was 12 rounds. You just sat there and listened to it, and I think I left by about the 10th round. It was so long. But it was great because you couldn't get any draft information.
Sure.
And you had to wait. And there were only 500 seats available to the public. So you had to wait there to get a seat. And I met Joel Buschbaum and I got to watch this. And I thought all, like most people did back then, every NFL team was there running the draft from there. But it's just you send somebody there, your equipment man. I know we used to send Chico Norton from the 49ers. And we'd send Roy Gilbert, who's in a lot of pictures with Coach Walsh, and they would man the phones, and it was just a manning of the phone. It was all the information was being exchanged from the draft room.
There's that element of it. There's also just back in the day when there's a one or two mock drafts that everybody's waiting for. Now everybody and their mother has one online. So what's real, what's not? Let's set the table for all that we have on tap coming up today. We'll continue our division deep dives with the NFC West today. At the end of this hour, WWMD, what would Michael do? We're going to go through if you were in the GM's chair for picks 1 through 10, who you would take with those selections. We've also got some great guests slated on the show today, including Adam Burke, who's going to hop on the Progressive guest line with us in about 15 minutes. VSiN's own Matt Eumanns had a lot of success betting the draft in the past. He has his mock draft up right now at VSiN.com. And Harry Gagnon, an hour or two as well, former sportsbook supervisor, better host of the Against All Odds podcast in his usual Wednesday spot. So like I said, we have a ton of draft content that we're going to give you, but we also just got a pretty big deal that came through as well. We have a new highest paid wide receiver in the league, Lions wideout. Amon-Ra St. Brown agrees to a 4-year, $120 million extension, $77 million in guaranteed money coming out according to Ian Rappaport. So the $30 million in average annual value is now the highest that we have in the league, and the $77 million in guarantees outpaces Cooper Kupp that he had in 75.
You know what strikes me is the fact that you know how angry I get when these mocks have 25 wide receivers in it, right? And so the highest paid receiver, if this contract's correct, is Amon-Ra St. Brown. He's a 4th-round pick. The second highest is Tyreek Hill, who was a 5th-round pick. The third highest is Cooper Kupp, who was a 3rd-round pick. You getting the trend here? I just did McAfee, and he put a graph up, I think that Adam Schefter tweeted out earlier today, about how the positions are evaluated and the success rate. You know the lowest position success rate in the National Football League is, Stormy?
Are you going to say wide receiver?
A wide receiver.
Wow.
So, like, if this isn't living proof, to borrow a Bruce Springsteen line, that there is a real risk of blowing the pick for your team when you take a receiver, especially one. Look, Justin Jefferson was the 5th receiver picked in his own draft class. He he was a first rounder, but he was the fifth one pick. He's the best one by far. So I think, to me, we get so preoccupied with we need a skill player. I mean, Tennessee is going through this now. Everybody has Tennessee taking a wide offensive lineman because they need one badly.
Sure.
But Tennessee wants to take a receiver. Brian Callahan wants a receiver because he was in Cincinnati.
When they took Ja'Marr Chase.
And he wants to build outside in, not inside out. I don't agree with that, but that's the philosophy today. And then when you add the layer of evidence that's coming in on who's getting paid and who's not, it seems really hard to understand why you would do it.
Yeah, well, it's funny with Brian and Bill specifically, because Brian's like, I like guys that can score touchdowns. He said that on a local radio station. But then his dad, Bill, of course, is an offensive line guru. Yeah. He would like to build from the inside out, right?
Right. So. Exactly. And he's using his dad. Look, I got my dad's one of the best line coaches in football. True. And he can make good players into better players, which is hard to do. Look at Cincinnati, for all the conversation about Chase, and he's great. Don't get me wrong. But they have a hard time keeping Joe Burrow healthy because they get him hit all the time.
All fair points. What does this contract mean, though, for some of these other guys that are in line? Justin Jefferson, CeeDee Lamb, and even some guys that maybe aren't that top highest tier, like a Brandon Ayuk who's chasing a contract, T. Higgins as well.
Well, I think all of them are waiting to get over the 30. I mean, this is the all the agents that have receivers are trying to get over that $30 million threshold. That's the key. And Jefferson's wants to get significantly over, mm-hmm. whether it's 33 or 34 or 32. That's the contract. And I think we have to wait and see what the true numbers are on this deal. But that 30 threshold, they want to break through it. Yeah. You know, and if they can break through it, you know, can Ayuk get that deal? Well, he's not as good as Jefferson. Is he as good as Armand St. Brown? Well, they're different kind of players, right? But, I mean, Armand St. Brown averaged 12.4 yards a catch in his career. He scored 23 touchdowns. He's a really good player. He's a really good player. Is he the best receiver in football? No, but he's really good. And I think Ayuk could make that case. The problem the Niners have, and I said this on local radio in San Francisco today, is how do they replace Ayuk? There's really nobody in this draft, once you get out of the top 10, mm-hmm. that is as good as Ayuk. You're guessing. And they did this before when they traded Buckner and they picked Greenlaw. I mean, you know, they picked Kinlaw. They picked Kinlaw. And that didn't work out, right? They ended up giving away a really good player. They thought they got a player of equal value in the first round. So it's going to be interesting. They're going to have to pay it. And all these contracts allow water to seek its level.
Sure. The 49ers picking at number 31 overall, by the way, in the draft. Okay, we have a lot of other news items that have come through. Well, I say news, but they're really headlines. So let's try to sift through some of the madness with news or noise. Roll that open.
Is it news?
Corleone is a man who insists on hearing bad news immediately.
Or just noise.
Are you going to act like this is news?
Just noise. Let's separate the impactful from the insignificant with one simple question. News or noise?
All right, Caleb Williams, we're starting at the top. A minus 20,000 favorite to be the top overall selection in this year's draft. That said, Bruce Feldman put out his final pre-draft anonymous scout check-in yesterday with quotes from more than 12 scouts and coaches around the league. And while many of the reviews about Caleb Williams' skill set were extremely glowing, there were some question marks about his, quote, readiness as a person. Some of the quotes, I think Caleb Williams has a chance to be very good, but I'm not sure about the wiring. He gives off a Russell Wilson vibe with his lack of self-awareness, kind of above everybody. I like Caleb as a player, but the locker room part of it concerns me, and so on and so forth. News or noise, hearing this from some people in different organizations around the league?
I think that's 1,000% news, and it's what everybody's worried about. It's what I'm worried about. It's the connectivity between him, the player, and the team. And that's why they sent him out to dinner with a bunch of other players. Mm-hmm. They're nervous about it. Trust me, someone told me in the league that when they talk to Eberflus, it looks like he has an ulcer because he's nervous about it too. He's nervous because, look, let's face it, the way Caleb has behaved at SC, the way he behaved at Oklahoma, it was never his fault. It was the defense fault, or it was this fault. And Eberflus knows that if they're not successful offensively, it ain't going to be because Caleb isn't good enough. Mm-hmm. It's going to fall back on him. Accountability hasn't been his strong suit, let's say that. And his connectivity to his teammates hasn't been his strong suit. His strong suit is he's a good player. He's the best quarterback the Bears. I mean, that draft I went to in 81, that's when they drafted Jim McMahon, the sixth overall pick. This will be the best quarterback that they've drafted, including when they had Cutler and all those other guys. However, does he connect? That's the biggest concern.
Yeah. He can't be a hit or miss. He's got to be a hit for the Bears. Former first overall pick in 1998, Peyton Manning said one of his former teams, the Denver Broncos, is very interested in J.J. McCarthy. He said he's impressive to talk to. I know Denver's very interested in him, and it sounded like a place he'd love to come to, but it's a little out of his control. News or noise? Broncos, very interested.
I think J.J. McCarthy and Bo Nix fit what Sean McVay want, what Sean Payton want to do. They both are really good, have really good foot quickness. They both have really good their arms are tied to their feet. They have instincts and intuition, which is critical for Sean's offense. And so that would make a lot of sense. Can he get up to get him? I don't think so. But I do think that they're very interested in both players. Yes, I think it's news.
Okay, let's try to get one more. NFL Network's Mike Garofolo said the Raiders are a team that's attempted to trade up to number 2 overall with the Commanders, but Washington isn't moving. News or noise?
That's old news. That's old news. Okay, they've been trying and it ain't working. That's old news.
We all know they want Jaden Daniels, but can they get him?
But that's old news. We've known that since Antonio Pierce became the head coach full-time of the Raiders. So that's old news. He's always wanted that, you know, and he's got Marvin Lewis on the staff. So, you know, sometimes this is just we regurgitate an old story and make it, but they're not trading down with him.
Our own Matt Eumanns, who, as I referenced, will be on the program later today, he wrote in his latest article that a source that he has close to the Raiders said Antonio Pierce is desperately lobbying to trade up for Daniels in the number 2 spot. Pierce knows he must win soon to keep his job and needs a dynamic quarterback, but the price move up to 13 would be steep. And is Washington willing to move out of it?
And remember, Telesco has control over all player movement, not Pierce. Okay, so he runs the organization. And to give up a boatload of picks, he's got to get approval from Mark Davis, which I don't think would happen.
He finished that thought with Raiders general manager Tom Telesco is resisting. So there you go. Jaden Daniels, by the way, minus 475 to go to the Washington Commanders, plus 400 to the Patriots, plus 500 to the Raiders. We're going to hit our first break of the day. Adam Burke joining us next. We'll get the lowdown on all of the draft content we have available at VSiN right now. We'll be right back.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Stormy Bonatoni, on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
If you haven't already, make sure you check out the new and improved VSiN.com. All that same great content you're used to, but with a fresh new look. We have best bets from all of our VSiN show hosts, experts, and guests, as well as our betting splits page, exclusive articles, a new one up right now from our own Michael Lombardi, and breakdowns in every sport, the NBA and NHL postseason going on, MLB regular season, everything you need. It's a one-stop shop right now at VSiN.com. And who better to welcome into the program coming off of that discussion than the managing editor of VSiN.com, Adam Burke, joining us now on the Progressive Guest Line. And in addition to all of those resources that we just referenced, lots of good stuff looking ahead to the NFL draft as we are just a day away now from round one getting underway in Detroit. Adam, welcome in. Thank you for joining us today. But what can fans and readers expect when they head out to VSiN.com when it comes to the draft?
Yeah, hey, Stormy and Michael, thanks for having me. Appreciate coming on here today. Yeah, we got a mock draft right now for Matt Eumanns up there. Tim Murray's done his own spin on a mock draft as well, including some of his best bets for the draft that he's made already and also some things that he's looking for. Zachary Cohen wrote up a piece about wide receivers going in the first round. I'll be refreshing my quarterbacks piece for the over-under for the first round as well. So we're going to have a piece on how to bet on the draft, just kind of generically speaking. But honestly, the draft is a really difficult thing to write about because of the odds movement, because of the way that things shift so dramatically. And of course, you know, here in Nevada, they're going to be taking down all the draft props 24 hours before the draft. That won't be the case in most places, but, you know, it's a very, very difficult thing to write content about because by the time you get it up, the odds may have moved and it may be dated already. So we don't want to spend too much time chasing our tails, but we do have those two mock drafts and some other resources for you over at VSiN.com.
Well, what's the one prop that you've looked at, Adam, that you've said, wow, this is really interesting? But I know the quarterback one. I know Tim and JVT have been adamant about the under 6 or under 5. But what other one have you looked at that you thought, wow, this is really somewhat strange for this year?
So honestly, Michael, I mean, I don't spend a lot of time on the draft. It's really not something that I enjoy. It's something that I don't bet on because – to me, it's really hard to do, right? It's just kind of the race to get the news first, try to get the best number that you can. And then, of course, the numbers wind up moving around a ton, and you may or may not be sitting there with a good bet. You know, I prefer the more data-driven stuff, the sports that are in season now, all that kind of thing. So the draft is not something that I do a whole lot with. I just don't think that I can find the same edges that I can find in other betting markets. But I do think that, you know, the wide receiver prop that Zach wrote about over at VSiN.com is really interesting. I think he did a really good job breaking it all down because, you know, we know that there are a lot of quarterback needy teams, but we also know that a lot of teams have spent a lot of resources around the NFL to put as much skill position talent around quarterbacks as possible. And so the value of a wide receiver has really gone up over the last several years. Value of tight ends has really gone up as well, but especially wide receivers. So I think that's one that's really interesting to watch, with 6.5 being the prevailing number out there. You know, will some teams kind of reach for a wide receiver? Because those guys can be game changers in what's largely a pass happy league.
And I guess also just to follow up on that, because you did say you're going to be refreshing that quarterbacks article, the over under for the number of quarterbacks to go has been sitting really steady at that 4.5. We anticipate those four to go at the top. But based on, you know, what you've been reading and collecting data and information on this, do you think that we get five or more?
I don't. I know that the juice is kind of heavily slanted towards the over 4.5, but I don't really see that being the case. I mean, look, you know, I think that, and Michael could probably speak to this better than I could, you know, I mean, if you're going to take a quarterback with a first round pick, the guy better hit. Otherwise, your job security is in, you know, serious jeopardy. And even if it's a guy at the back part of the first round, still, you know, if you're picking at the back of the first round, you're probably a Super Bowl contending-ish type of team to where, you know, you have a piece that you need more. Now, of course, maybe it's a trade up and somebody moves up from the second round to the late first to take a quarterback, something like that. But I mean, I don't think that Michael Penix and Bo Nix really are first round types of guys based on, you know, what I saw, based on what I've seen kind of reported out there. We know the four that are going early and they probably deserve to, although I'm still not sold on JJ McCarthy, but I just don't see why you would need to reach for one of these fringe starter-ish type of prospects when if you're a team picking at the back half of the first round, you could get a player at a position of need who may be a difference maker for you for this season, as opposed to waiting 2-3 seasons down the line.
Yeah, no doubt. Everybody wants a receiver, although the success rate of receivers and hitting with receivers is a little bit challenging. 27% is, and the three highest paid receivers now in football, Adam, are all guys who were drafted not in the first round, which tells you you can get better players at that position later. Look, I don't think the Packers would trade Christian Watson for Drake London, and London went 10th pick overall, and Watson went in the second. But let's shift towards basketball. What has surprised you so far about the opening of the playoff series? And don't say Joel Embiid's conditioning.
No, that's never really a surprise. And the fact that he's banged up again, also not a surprise.
Shocking,
here.
Right? Yes, I couldn't believe, I never saw that coming, Adam. I didn't think it would ever happen. I just knew he was such wired, you know, and everybody's giving him excuses. But please feel free.
So I think the one thing that has kind of surprised me a little bit here is just how dominant Cleveland has been against Orlando. You know, I kind of expected that to be the thing in this series. I do the VSiN Saturday Betting Hour, which gets broadcast across the Buckeye State to 20 some odd affiliates there in the state of Ohio. And, you know, I talked about this series and I said, look, you know, I think the Cavaliers are set up really, really well because Orlando's a team that doesn't shoot a lot of threes. And when they do, they're not very efficient with them. They take a lot of two-point shots, and the Cavaliers were third in two-point field goal percentage defense during the regular season. So I figured that they would shut Orlando down. But, you know, what has kind of surprised me is the degree to which they've shut Orlando down. I mean, they're winning games in pretty lopsided fashion. And for the most part, these games haven't even been that close. Orlando's gone on a couple of mini runs to kind of make things look a little bit better cosmetically, but Cleveland looks really, really solid in this series. And furthermore, Donovan Mitchell looks healthy, which, I mean, I don't think that they have a shot really to beat Boston. I don't know that anybody in the East does right now. But I think they can at least be a little bit more competitive with the Celtics than I expected coming into the postseason, you know, just because Mitchell appears to be healthier. They still have two more games to win against Orlando, obviously, but they're off to a nice start. And the fact that Mitchell's healthy, I think, is a really big benefit for them.
And we have our first sub 200 total in game three coming up in that series with the rock fights that we've seen so far through two games. Also, by the way, I don't know if you heard, Michael, but we had some series actually start yesterday with road teams winning.
Yes, I witnessed one of them. I sat there. I don't know where you were. I thought you were going to come over, but I sat there with the great Bill AD. I watched Milwaukee. Yeah. I watched that. And I watched a really good, I watched the Timberwolves, which I thought, you know, one of the things, you know, Adam, I think when watching these games, these older players seem to be fading in the second half, like Phoenix wasn't the same team in the second half. Minnesota just took the game over like they did game one, and in the second, in the fourth quarter. Yeah.
And I wonder too if maybe the Mavericks all of a sudden are the biggest competition in the West now for the Denver Nuggets. I don't know. But Adam, before we let you go, in addition to all the great work that you do at VSiN.com, you're also a host of DraftKings Double Play, the baseball betting podcast, alongside Dustin Sweetelson. So if you have any MLB bets you want to give out for today, we are all ears. Otherwise, you're off the hook.
Yeah, I got a couple of baseball plays for today. I actually have three of them in my article over at VSiN.com, so I can give you one of them here. The Tigers and the Rays under 8 is a bet that I really like here today. I think Sean Armstrong gets the start here for Tampa Bay, and I do believe that former Tiger Tyler Alexander will be the guy to follow him. Alexander's numbers don't look all that great here on the season, but if you look at his contact management metrics, he's gotten very unlucky because he's done a good job of staying off the barrel, done a good job of limiting hard hit percentage. But he's a guy who hasn't really had the positive results that you would typically expect. Had a really good start last time out against the Yankees when I picked up on that. I had the Rays for the full game, money line. They win the first, or I think it was nothing after 5. Would have been a push there. They wind up with some bullpen issues, lose that game. But Alexander was really, really good. And then Jack Flaherty's been really good for the Tigers here so far. Strikeout rate is up. Walk rate is way down. He's staying off the barrel pretty effectively as well. These are two offenses that are struggling right now. Good ballpark for unders. I like the Tigers and the Rays under 8 tonight down at the Trop.
Awesome, Adam. Thank you so much for your time today. Appreciate you.
Absolutely. Have a good one.
Adam Burke, follow him on X at Skating Tripods, as well as everything at VSiN.com.
Baseball is such a, like, I sat here last night and watched the two basketball games, and there were all those baseball games on. I mean, it's like, whoa, it was like getting me like confused, and it's remarkable.
There's a lot of screens happening in here too.
Like, I was like, can we just put the basketball games in the big screen and we could kind of nibble on the baseball? But I mean, obviously you got to keep up on it and stay abreast of it, and you can make money. I asked Will Hill the other day how he's, you know, you got to keep on it. It's kind of a hard thing, and that's why I think if you're going to bet baseball, you really need to pay attention to Adam and the website.
Yeah, it's going to be a daily grind for sure. Yeah, for those that are keeping tabs on it. Also, by the way, I was going to come down, but then I reached my limit. I was like, I have to go home at 7:30. I have things that I have to do. So I was like, all right, you know, I had my one Modelo and lime, and then I'm out the door.
I saw
why didn't you come up?
I was here. I got in late. You were just signing off, you and Amber, who did a tremendous job yesterday. You were just signing off. So I when I got in here, and then I had to go write a column for Bill AD, or else I was going to get in trouble. You know,
you're a very in-demand man.
No,
this
I'm not.
Week,
I have obligations I had to meet. So I wrote the column for Bill AD so he didn't get mad at me.
Well done, sir. Yes, that is also, by the way, up on the website right now. It is live at VSiN.com. And to your point, a huge shout out to Amber Theo Harris for stepping in yesterday while Michael was traveling. A lot of fun getting to know her a little bit. And she is out there in Detroit right now because she's going to be on the Westwood One broadcast interviewing all those players after they come off the stage tomorrow. We're going to hit the break real quickly. When we come back, getting back into a lot of the draft news of the day, as well as continuing our division deep dive series on what the teams in the NFC West should be doing with those first round picks. We'll be right back.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here's your host, Stormy Bonatoni, on VSiN, the sports betting network.
For a limited time here at VSiN, we're offering 2 weeks of our exclusive betting splits for free when you sign up at VSiN.com/splits. The VSiN betting splits page is updated with DraftKings odds every 5 minutes, so you can see changes in all the action. Find out where the public's betting based on the number of tickets and where the money does not match that public opinion. You can check out not just today's action, but future events as well. Take advantage. It's a limited time offer. VSiN.com/splits is how you can claim your free 2 week access to VSiN's betting splits page. Alongside former NFL executive Mike Lombardi, Stormy Bonantoni with you as we continue our all draft, all the time coverage over the next 48 to 72 hours, Michael. And something interesting came out yesterday from Ian Rappaport and Tom Pelissero of NFL Network, that the tampering investigation the NFL has had into both the Atlanta Falcons and the Philadelphia Eagles for their acquisitions of Kirk Cousins and Saquon Barkley will not be concluded by this week. So those investigations will be ongoing. So no 2024 picks will be impacted.
Yeah, I'm sure they probably have an idea what they want to do, but I'm sure they've given the teams the right to kind of challenge the penalty, or at least present evidence to kind of help themselves go forward. And it seems like it was too rushed, because when it came out, when Schefter reported it could be something, I think obviously the teams that were being penalized probably came back and said, wait a minute, we need our due process here. We need to be able to justify it. So it'll go into next year's draft and we'll see what it comes out to. I mean, I don't know how the Falcons did a contract of that magnitude in 10 minutes, but, you know, stranger things have happened in my life, I guess.
Well, especially when you consider the medical side with Kirk Cousins as well. Like a lot of those things, yeah. It definitely makes you raise your eyebrows a little bit. The Saquon Barkley in Philadelphia one was a little bit different because it was Saquon's former coach, James Franklin, talking about conversations that Saquon had. And so that was very hearsay versus the Kirk Cousins situation. Yeah. He just kind of told on himself a little bit in his introductory press conference.
And I think in defense of Philadelphia, I don't think Philly thought they had him. I think they were worried Houston was going to get him. So there was competition there. The one that we knew Philly had was Bryce Huff. I mean, I knew that 8 days before. Like I was saying that they're going to get, you know, there's a team that knows they have Bryce Huff. And so like that would be the one to me that there had to be some kind of tampering on that one. Whereas this one, it was iffy going to the stretch on Houston, particularly because of state taxes in Philadelphia. You know, you pay those taxes, and in Houston with a state with a tax-free state, it's always so different. You have to kind of figure out all those numbers out.
For anyone who might not know, what would that penalty be if they are found guilty of tampering?
It's always hard to say. There's no track record. I mean, when I was at the Patriots, we got, you know, fined $1 million and we lost a first round pick for Deflategate, which ended up not being true. So how do you even know? I mean, Rich McKay's pumping, I mean, Super Bowl, I mean, Kaiser Sose McKay was pumping music into the thing and he got caught for it and they didn't get really any penalty. They were literally pumping music into the dome and they I don't think they paid a third round pick. Meanwhile, we weren't even charged with it. But, you know, that's the power of Kaiser Sose McKay.
Evidently. So good. Okay. We have been doing throughout the last week deep dives on a variety of divisions. Today, we are on everybody's favorite division. Okay, maybe just mine. The NFC West. Let's start at the bottom before we get to the team at the top who, you know, pretty special there, the San Francisco 49ers. The Arizona Cardinals, 4-13 now each of the last two seasons, but hoping this year's draft could be the beginning of the team's turnaround. They have two picks in the first round, six in the third, including number four overall. And Monty Austin Ford is probably sitting real pretty right now wondering if he's going to either take a top-tier wide receiver or if somebody's going to pay a king's ransom to move into that spot.
Well, the beautiful thing Monty has, he's in the driver's seat, right? I mean, he will trade because he's not looking for a quarterback, although I'm not sure that's right, but he's not looking for a quarterback. Okay. And so
Kyler Murray catching strays.
Well, I mean, he hasn't really been the good player, but they're committed to him. Okay. It's a little bit like they can't get out of the money. They committed to the $90 million over the next 2 years, so they have to go down this road. So whether he picks Marvin Harrison at four or Neighbors at four or trades down to get, you know, an offensive lineman at some point at 11 or 12, it really doesn't matter because he's collecting more picks. And this team is so devoid of talent, he needs more picks. And I think that he'll make a deal. That's the other thing, Stormy. He will make a deal. This team, you know, they signed three defensive linemen in free agency. They've signed an offensive tackle in Jonah Williams, who's not a legitimate, you know, we talk about starters, right? And we talk about, you know, just because a guy starts doesn't mean he's an above-the-line player. Jonah Williams is an average player at best. Now, they only paid him $15 million, which you typically wouldn't pay a left tackle. But that, to me, is the significant one. And I think when you can go anywhere on the board to pick anything like Monty can, you become dangerous to trade down.
Okay. Marvin Harrison Jr. is still an odds-on favorite to be that pick, and that is with the expectation that Arizona would stay in that pick. But then you see J.J. McCarthy right there, plus 180, Drake May, plus 850, and Jaden Daniels at 17-1, should he slip as well. Let's go to the Seattle Seahawks here. First draft without Pete Carroll in a minute. Seattle reached the postseason 10 of the 14 years with Carroll in charge. They were on the outside looking in last year. So Mike McDonald steps in as the new head man. His squad's picking 16th in the first round. So what might the former defensive coordinator do here? Do you think that he could be influenced to bolster the D-line, that type of group? Or as the odds-on favorite here sits offensive line, does he go trenches on the other side of the ball?
Well, one thing we do know about John Schneider, the general manager of the Seahawks, is he really doesn't care about what the mocks say. Okay. You know, he's always gotten F's in drafts because he picks players that nobody thinks he should go in the first round, which gets you the F, right? And he could care less. And he's very good at his job. And I admire the hell out of him for doing it. But the strength of where he's going to pick might be offensive line. You know, the defense is where I'm sure he would like to go. But when they sign back Leonard Williams, you know, they signed Draymond Jones, you know, they're better up front. And they've got some younger players in the secondary that are really good. I think offensive line is the key. Look, they're good at receiver. Geno can be. I wouldn't be surprised if they went in that direction at all. And they could go D-line, O-line, and they could even go quarterback. But I just don't see them doing that this early in the draft. And there really is no second-level quarterback. Mm-hmm. Once you get past the six, then it's And I think, to me, I think he made a great trade in getting Sam Howell. Because if you put Sam Howell in this group of quarterbacks – I'm taking him ahead of a lot of guys that are going to go in the first round.
No question about it. 7-1, the Seattle Seahawks are in the division, win total sitting 7.5. The Rams had a rough year in 2022, turned into a really surprise playoff team a season ago. Now, for the first time since 2016, F them picks, they have a first round selection. What do you think they do with it sitting at number 19 overall?
I think this is a great question, right? They really strengthened the inside of their offensive line and what they did in free agency, signing Kevin Dotson after they signed him as a free agent. They brought Jonah Jackson over from Detroit. They really strengthened the inside of what they're trying to do. They're a, you know, an inside zone team. They want to be able to run the ball. I know quarterbacks at plus 700, but this is the perfect time to pick a quarterback if you're them. And I'm not saying they will, but it's the perfect time because they really need defensive help off defensive linemen. And when you lose Aaron Donald, you've lost a lot. They've drafted the two kids last year, Brown and Turner, who both have played well for them. I think that's the area. They could use another corner. They signed Tre'Davious White, who's maybe not so healthy. They signed, you know, Williams, the free agent from Jacksonville, who was a cap casualty there. I think, to me, this would be defensive line and then quarterback. I think they're the sleeper team to take a quarterback. I really do.
Okay. 7-1, the price there if they were to take a quarterback. Bo Nix has been somebody who they've made a connection with. Matthew Stafford, aging, had injuries. He's coming to the end of his contract. Jimmy Garoppolo behind him. And LA, too, is known for finding some like late round gems recently. Think about Kyren Williams and Puka Nacua, who are a fifth round pick. So if they can find that kind of talent later on in the draft.
Well, here's the thing, though. Those two young rookie defensive tackles they look better because you got the great one next to him. Now the great one's not there anymore. Yeah. All of a sudden that changes everybody else's play.
D-line edge sitting plus 180 with Aaron Donald, of course, now in retirement. Last one here, the San Francisco 49ers, my beloved Niners. Now after losing in overtime to the Chiefs in Super Bowl 58, still in win now mode. They have 10 picks in this draft, including number 31 overall offensive line, a minus 215 favorite for them to go that direction in the first round.
I think there's no question that that's going to be the direction they go because the defensive board's going to be depleted by the time they get down there. You know, I think the IU question is, what do they do with him? They need him. You know, he's hard to replace because he's an outside receiver. You know, it's funny, Stormy, the article I wrote for VSiN, I talked about the 22 draft for the Niners, where they got an A- in that draft, and they drafted really none of the picks worked out very well, but they got Brock Purdy in the seventh. Now, the A- was based on all the other picks, right?
Yep.
And so sometimes all it takes is just one really great player to turn your draft around. They're going to need that in this draft.
It is funny how we grade each team's draft like over the weekend after those players are all taken off the board. We should really be grading them a couple years down the
Absolutely.
Road. How did that really go?
Yeah, well, it went well for them because they got Purdy. Thank God for John York.
But, like, how lucky is that, though?
Well, you know, but look, they had him graded in the right. You know, they had him graded, and John York deserves all the credit because he told to Kyle. He said, Kyle, look, if you like this guy in the fourth round, why are you even hesitating picking him? And he did. It saved their franchise. I mean, that's what an owner's job is to do, is to redirect the conversation to the most important factor.
Yeah, I just keep thinking about that 2021 draft now and all the quarterbacks who are now in different places.
Saturday picks.
For day three picks. Yep. It is pretty remarkable. And yeah, with Trey Lance out the building, boy, how lucky are the 49ers that Brock Purdy worked out there, Mr. Irrelevant no more. We're going to hit the break. When we come back to close out hour one of the program, what would Michael do? We're going through his selections, the first five picks and beyond. We'll be right back.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Stormy Bonatoni, on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Don't miss out on any of the NBA playoff action at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. From the start of the play-in tournament all the way through the finals, DraftKings Sportsbook has you covered with same-game parlays, live betting, odds boosts, and more. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use the code VSIN. New customers that do can bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets instantly. That's VSIN, V-S-I-N. Use the code only on DraftKings. The crown is yours. And good news, Michael, there are two NBA games on tonight that people can use this on. The 76ers aren't one of them, so you can breathe tonight, which is great.
I've been breathing the whole time. I never was in doubt. I mean, I never was. The other night, I was completely composed. I was fine. It was all good.
Did you see the two-minute report? Did that make you feel better or worse about game two?
I don't know why the NBA would admit that they blew the calls, and yet they're not suspending the crew. Like, what good is that? Like, because there's just admitting you're wrong doesn't make the 76ers 1-1. You know, it doesn't. So, like, what's the point in admitting you're wrong? We all know you were wrong. I mean, you don't have to admit it. We all know.
Like, do you just want us to say we appreciate the transparency? Yeah, like this did nothing to win them the game now.
Why wouldn't you just say, okay, that crew is no longer going to officiate any of these games moving forward because of their incredible. I mean, they're grabbing Maxie's jersey. Come on. And I mean, Nurse is over there calling timeout. Nobody's paying attention. Mm. I mean, I think, you know, who deserves the credit for that game is the Garden. And we talked about this on Monday about the atmosphere at the Garden, how electric it is. I think the officials got caught up in the feeling of the Garden. Mm. I mean, it really did. I mean, it was unbelievable. I loved watching it, seeing the celebrities all along the court there. And, you know, Sting was in the front row. Yeah. I mean, Sting looked great. It was awesome.
76ers are a 4.5-point favorite, by the way, coming up tomorrow.
Get out of here. Really? They're a 4.5-point favorite?
Just saying.
Oh, I'm taking the Knicks in the points.
So I wanted to get you fired up a little bit because I'm looking at the way that you have laid out the players and positions that you would pick early in the draft. Yeah. And one of them gets me fired up. So this will be fun.
I can see it.
So we're going to do an exercise here. WWMD, what would Michael do? Obviously, he has sat in that chair as a general manager, making these decisions in the past. You know all about these prospects. You've watched tape like crazy over the last couple months getting ready for this. At number one, the Chicago Bears are on the clock, Michael. Who are you taking at number one overall in the 2024 draft?
Well, I would take Caleb Williams because he is the best quarterback. Now, he comes with some concerns we talked about in the last hour about his connectivity to the team and his ability to be a little different. It's good. It's okay to be different. Dennis Rodman was different. But, you know, there was some connectivity to the team. I think that's the only concern that you have in this situation.
And the minus 20,000, like we referenced off the top of the show as well, speaks for itself.
Is somebody going to bet 20,000 to win $100 or something? I mean, come on.
And like let's say you wanted to place a $100 bet, $100 bet, throw that on Caleb Williams to go number one overall. You win 50 cents, Michael. It's ridiculous.
I mean, it's so ridiculous. Like, I don't even know why. I mean, if I were just take it off the book.
We talked about a lot of those quotes, too, that came from the Bruce Feldman article of like the anonymous scouts and stuff. And one that I didn't mention earlier that I did also find interesting was that he's got to work on some things from the pocket, and that takes discipline and that takes humility. I just wonder if he has that, but finished his thought saying if he can figure those things out, he will be elite. Right. And I think that's the thing.
And I think coachability is the key word of this of this era we're living in today. A lot of these players are not coachable. It goes back to, you know, the anxious generation where they take coaching as criticism as opposed to, you know, because this is such a phone generation, not a playground generation, that they're not used to being coached hard. And he hasn't been. And so I think that's got to concern you a great deal. If he can get over that hurdle, if he's willing to take coaching like Patrick Mahomes is, which leads me to my next quarterback.
All right. So the Washington Commanders will be picking at number two overall because we know that the phone has been ringing, but they are not answering it. They want to use that pick on their guy. If you were in the room, Michael, let's do this both ways. Who would you take with the pick? And then also, what are you hearing with as it pertains to
I think it's Jaden Daniels, but I think I would take J.J. McCarthy. And here's why. And
so this is why I'm fired up.
I know
why?
You are.
I'm so curious.
Because the reason I've gravitated towards McCarthy is because I think he is really coachable. Sure. I think he's willing to do what the offense has asked him to do. I think he's smart. I think he connects to his team. I think he's a good athlete. I think he can make all the throws that you need to make. And everybody says, and Femi said this, what's the special trait? Well, the special trait is coachability, to doing what you want him to do in the offense. That's the special trait. It's not he has this electric arm or he can make every throw. Joe Milton's special athletically. He just isn't special in instincts and intuition. And I think that's where I think McCarthy, his third down tape is really good when you watch him. He's got good rhythm. His arm is attached to his feet. And if you want to run an offense with some under center and you want to run the football and you want to do the things that all quarterbacks need to do, I think McCarthy gives you the best opportunity to execute that.
And he has, like, he's even talked about going back to high school, because he wasn't an offense that threw the ball a lot in high school, that when he got to Michigan, it was a really big learning experience for him to understand that this isn't about me.
Right.
This is about the team. And he's a very impressive guy. There's no question. Like, the intangibles are there. He's a winner. He's a competitor. He's a leader. He's a light in every room that he walks in. All of the things that you hear about him are true. Number two overall.
Well,
though,
I mean,
Michael,
remember, Stormy,
on.
It doesn't matter how they play. It doesn't matter where we pick him. It matters. Like, okay, Sean Payton picked Tony Romo, signed Tony Romo in Dallas as a free agent. Now, it would have drove Mel Kiper insane if the Cowboys would have picked him in the first round, but it would have been a great pick.
No,
it would have been a great
pick.
It's where they, how they play. The next one, I gave the Patriots Jaden Daniels. And I would pick Jaden Daniels if I was New England. And here's what I would say about New England. They're picking a quarterback. All this nonsense about them trading down, they might, but they're going to trade down to know they're going to get a quarterback. They're picking a quarterback. They're not coming out of this draft without a quarterback. And unless they get Jonathan Kraft, who is essentially overseeing all football operations in the building, Elliott Wolf, they want the, my favorite word of all time, collaboration. They want to collaborate. They're collaborating with Jonathan Kraft leading the charge.
Okay.
And so unless, and his father and he are running the team, and they want a quarterback, and they're going to get a quarterback. They want a face of the franchise. They're going to get him. And if they get the guy that they want at three, they're going to make the pick.
By the way, from an odds perspective, Jaden Daniels is now -550 to go number two overall. If you did think that they could take a flyer on McCarthy, 11-1, Drake May +425. And then when it comes to the Patriots, Jaden Daniels +400 to be the pick to New England. The Raiders also sitting there on his odds board at 5-1. Arizona Cardinals on the clock at 4. Do you think they trade out or they take a wide receiver?
They're going to have a great opportunity to trade out. I think if they stay there, they'll take Marvin Harrison. I would take Neighbors.
Okay.
But I think if they stay there, I don't think they're going to stay there. I think they're going to get enough to move around. And look, I think at the end of the day, you know, it may not have to be a boatload. I think they would rather move and get more picks than it would be for them just to stay there and make the pick, because they know they could get a good player somewhere else and they need more picks. Their team isn't good enough. I mean, Harrison's a really good player. Everybody I talked to, Christopher Sims, was saying the same thing. They all seem to like Neighbors more in the league. That seems to be the consensus in the league over Harrison. We'll see if it happens. I get the feeling that knowing Monty as well as I do, he'll pick Harrison. It's safer. It's cleaner. Yeah. But I think Neighbors is the better player.
The first non-quarterback off the board market has shifted more in the favor of Marvin Harrison Jr. over the last couple of days. He's now -1,000. Malik Neighbors, 7-1. He's also 18-1 to go number four overall. Malik Neighbors, that is. Number five, the Los Angeles Chargers and Jim Harbaugh's first opportunity in L.A.
Well, I think they'll take an offensive lineman. I think they'll take Joe Alt. And I think that's what they should do. You know, there's some speculation he could take McCarthy, a quarterback. Look, I think if he was going to do that, you would prepare yourself to trade the quarterback that you have, and you're going to get a boatload of players if you want to do that. I can't imagine. That's too much money you've already invested. It's like, it would be like the Cardinals taking a quarterback after they invested all this money into, guaranteed money into Kyler Murray. So they need offensive linemen. They need defensive linemen. Mm-hmm. Knowing Jim, this isn't about filling needs. This is about building a team. And I think you start building teams inside out and you pick an offensive lineman.
So this is one you think's a fit both ways, because if you were sitting in the chair, you like Joe Alt as the pick as well.
I like it. I like taking an offensive lineman. I like a left tackle. Now, I know they have Slater at left tackle. You can play him over at right tackle. You need good tackles. What you don't want to be in the National Football League is tackle poor. Mm.
For the Chargers to take an offensive lineman, the price -175 right now. I know in a lot of mocks, there are still people putting a wide receiver there. That's +200. Joe Alt specifically to go top five, +350, +360 to go number five overall. His draft position still set at 7.5, and it's juiced to high heaven to the under, of course. But like, still sit at 7.5. That was a little bit surprising to me,
yeah,
especially considering how much we do anticipate if the Chargers use the pick, that they would go all offensive.
You know, I think to me, there's so many good tackles. I think the reason they probably put that number at 7 is because I don't think people have a real true idea of who is the best tackle, right? Could it be J.C. Latham? right? I mean, he could be the best tackle. Mm-hmm. I think everybody's board slightly different, and so I think they're couching it. I really do.
That was the one, for all the smoke screens that we have from different GMs and coaches talking, Jim Harbaugh, the way he talked about the offensive line and its importance, that was real.
He wasn't lying.
Yeah.
He wasn't bluffing. Because that's who he is.
Yep.
That's exactly who he is.
We're going to take a quick timeout, resetting hour two of the Lombardi Line next. What's going on in Dallas? Jerry Jones had something to say. We'll be right back.